Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Do the Right Thing! Woo! Welcome to the podcast panel show that wants to do the right thing in any situation. For example, what is the right way to have sex with a minor? Keep your helmet on and stay within earshot of the canary. I'm Danielle Ward, and with me, trying to do the right thing today...
Works for both types.
Yeah. On my left, the least angry man in Northern Ireland, it's Michael Legg. And with him, like Bewitched but with less denim, it's Aisling B. On my right, Anne Hathaway's sister that you found crumpled up in a wardrobe. It's Margaret Cable Smith. And with her, like a fertility bomb in your second favourite jumper, it's Miles Jupp. Oh, blimey, Governor, I just found a round one up my chimney. It's the importance of being right.
The importance of being right.
Just like my brother, who went to prison for distributing illegal images on the dark web, I've run into some trouble online. In this round, I'm going to give each team a scenario, and they're going to tell me what is the right thing to do according to Annette Benning. They're not all gold. Margaret and Miles, for the third week in a row, you've had a letter in your bag, and yet every time you pass a postbox, you always forget to post it. What are you like, eh? Easily done. You finally managed to post that jiffy bag into the local sorting office, but now it's incredibly late, and the blackmail money you were sending off isn't going to cut it anymore. No. Big bastard, the organised crime lord you owe all this cash to, is going to be so pissed off, your only real solution is to make sure he spends the rest of his life sleeping with the fishes. So what is the right way to commit the perfect murder according to BBC's Horizon programme?
Oh, we've got quite highbrow this episode.
Oh, yes.
I feel like if I wanted to commit a murder, I could just do it in... I don't think anyone's going to think I did it.
Oh,
you know, I just...
Good one. Yeah,
I'm a well-spoken, nice girl. I don't... I think
that's
it,
what everybody
just...
says. Everybody on death row... I didn't think it was me.
Yeah, we could send Margaret in there to do the killing, or you could just kill them with one, just straight punch.
Is a one killer punch your preferred method?
Well, you know, you've always got a few methods in the locker. I suppose if that fails, if he just sort of wobbles a bit, but then he gets up again.
Are fucked.
You're like, yeah. Then you'd maybe go a bit Agatha Christie and inject a single air bubble into his bloodstream.
Oh, yes. Very good.
Where'd you get the needle from?
Oh, I packed it before I left the house, Margaret. I'm not an idiot.
Aisling, have you ever thought about committing a murder?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's every young girl's dream.
I used to sketch it at school on a book.
Yeah. With, like, loads of little heads from, like, Shout magazine and stuff. So it'd be, like, Stephen Gately or Keith Duffy from Boyzone or whatever. Sorry, Stephen Gately, RIP.
Yeah, sounds like you're slowly working through them, Aisling.
How would I do a murder? I have to say, you know when you're reading a menu and you're like, oh, that sounds nice. When Miles said, like, sticking a little air bubble into someone, like, oh, yeah, maybe. I wouldn't mind slowly, like, killing, like, every now and again, put a little bit of poison in the person's, like, petty faloo or whatever.
Yeah, I had, I actually know someone
build
who...
it up.
Who's done that? Well, she really hated her husband, with good cause. But she kept saying things like, I mean, I've just started putting a lot of butter in his food.
Yeah. play the long game.
So that's right. We'd need to sort of marry this gangster, or at least have breakfast with them.
Maybe
or whatever.
Get a really...
I know you're cross with me, but let me cook for you.
Like a very gentle poison that you can wipe on your lips and then a blowjob every night. That sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. And then it soaks up through his knob. Yeah. The perfect crime.
Because then when you tell them, they think, no one would do this.
Yeah.
This must be an accident. Otherwise, in order for this person to die, somebody would have had to lick their penis with poisoned lips. It can't possibly have happened.
Michael, you're an angry man. You must have thought of murder many times.
Yeah, most days. Most people. I think a war is a good way of covering up a murder, isn't it? Like, if you really hated someone, just start a war and then go, brilliant, now I've got a cunt. I mean, that's probably what's happened, isn't it? Guys, when you think about it. Mm.
Do you think you could start a war? Like,
sorry, Margaret, do you think I couldn't?
Well, I'm saying...
I'm saying
I'm challenging you.
Whoa! Right, that's it. I'm fucking starting a war. Right. This podcast...
Do you mean war or Twitter pylon?
Yeah, we all have faith you can do that.
I am good at that. I'm good at that.
You could unite the hackers and bring everything down. I can see you doing that. I can. Believe in yourself, girlfriend. I do. I feel like you could put a
tweet
out.
What is a hacker?
I don't mean like the New Zealand rugby dance. I mean like people who sit at home hacking. Away with their hacking equipment.
What? On their loom.
Computer people, am I right? Hackers. Is this a real word? It is. So they'll like bring down the NHS, they'll get in through the net, they'll put out, I don't know, a bad floppy disk or something into the PC, and lo and behold, 16 hours later, once the file is downloaded, we'll be ready to go. Yeah. You could start a war like that, I think.
Thank you, mate.
No, you're right.
See? Someone has faith in me.
Margaret, as an actor, would you rather be murdered on screen or off screen? No.
am I being threatened?
Would you rather be murdered on screen or would you rather play a murderer?
Oh, I see. I'm very clumsy, so it's probably not wise for me to play a murderer. I did have to cut someone's fingers off recently in a sketch. And, yeah, I... really nearly cut her fingers off. Yeah.
So your husband played someone who got murdered.
He's been murdered many, many times.
Really?
Yeah.
He got murdered in Hollyoaks.
Yeah, he got murdered in Hollyoaks.
I
he
made
got
him
murdered
a
cake. In Utopia.
Oh, well, everybody got murdered in Utopia.
I mean, he did have his like head blown off.
It was really
dressed for the job you want.
Yeah, he went into the audition covered in blood.
Ashling, would you like to be murdered on screen or would you prefer to play the murderer?
Oh, well, I was actually in a drama where I was being a nurse to a murderer all the time and people would live tweet me going, "Watch out, Ashling!" as if it was me and stuff like that the whole time. It was very like, "Get out of there, Ashling! What'll 8 out of 10 cats do if Jamie Dornan murders you?" This sort of stuff. So I think I'd rather play a murderer, but I'd like to be one in a cloak with a sort of... like I'd like a laugh and a limp and a, you know, look like a murderer. And then it turned out not to be me. For me to be in sort of Broadchurch or something going, seriously, I didn't do it.
Miles.
It depends which of them had more scenes.
Well.
But if it was filmed overseas, either. I don't know. I have played a killer on
have
screen.
You? What, in Alan Moore?
Yeah. You must have seen that episode. I don't know why they didn't have to show it. It was probably, across 253 episodes, the one with the highest body count. I know, in an episode of Father Brown.
I knew it was going to be Father Brown.
You played
Brown.
A murderer in Father
I killed,
Brown.
I killed someone
white there. Boys killing people. Yeah. Were you a policeman?
No. I was a killer.
From the beginning. It's like, and this is the village killer? We don't know.
Ian.
Funnily enough, we don't suspect him.
What was your side job?
I can tell you, it was, and you'll think this is classic edgy jup, but it was in a... the death happened in a fight over a stolen stamp.
I will simplify the question. The BBC Horizon concentrates on three factors: murder location, murder weapon, and disposable.
Murder
and
is all about location.
And
what a beautiful place to murder somebody. There's a lot of bus stops, 5 minutes to a newsagent, so much part of the schools.
And the schools.
Just 5 minutes from a graveyard.
So can anybody tell me best location for a murder?
Oh, I think I might genuinely know the science one for this. A pigsty. Pigs will eat everything. Pigs will eat you. Arsehole to nose, pigs will eat you.
Right.
It's a perfect place to dispose of a body.
Right next to an acid bath.
Yeah.
From arsehole to nose.
Yeah.
Well, that's not everything, is it?
Well, I would say they're the two bits outside, out of everything. Someone might be like, no, I wouldn't eat an arsehole or a nose. But like legs,
oh, you were listing it.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Like even the arsehole and the nose.
So you think people would much more likely eat dick than a nose?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I've done it like yesterday.
Yeah.
I think, like Michael, I was imagining just a tray of foreheads.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
In the pig trough.
Yeah, some feet.
Yeah.
Perfect murder weapon.
A pig.
A
hungry pig.
So, did no one think icicle? I always thought icicle would be the best murder weapon. Big icicle.
Oh, clever, yeah.
Melt away.
Melts away. Oh. Though I think pig is also very good.
Calippo.
Yes. Because then you get something out of it too. You go like, ha ha!
Oh, yeah. You get to kill someone, then get the nice juicy bit at the bottom.
Yeah. Miles, what would you do with the body afterwards? Because we know Aisling would feed it to the pigs.
Well, probably you'd look around for some flyovers that were being repaired, something like that, or a steel structure house where they were going to be laying some cement, something like that. Acid bath, that's always... I'm sorry to keep going back to it, but...
Do you have a local one?
A local one. There's a man who does.
The bit that boggles my mind is, you know the way that, like, glue doesn't stick to the glue tub? How does acid not acid the bath? How does acid even come in a pot? You know, like, how is acid not seeping
how do any
us
of
all
us?
Now?
What about grave diggers? They would be perfect murderers.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to go, oh, geez, why is he digging that grave? Well, I'm a grave digger. Oh, brilliant. And then all he needs to do is kill someone, put them in a box, and then put them in the grave.
You don't need to put them in a box. You could just put them, just a little layer of soil over.
We've saved some money already.
Yeah. If this podcast is ever played in court, it will be a sad, sad day. You can quite clearly hear Mr. Legg say what he's going to do.
Producer Ben, what is the answer?
Well, first a disclaimer. We don't endorse any of this. On balance, we at Team Do the Right Thing think murder is bad. I can't speak for our guests, but
no,
anyway.
No, you do, yeah.
So the BBC's Horizon programme says a perfect murder is possible. After all, there are likely to have been murders for which the culprits will never be caught. But it's tricky. No matter how meticulous you are, eliminating every clue is virtually impossible. You only have to make one mistake and the forensic scientists will be on to you. They only have to get lucky once. So these three key factors. Location. Remember that you leave DNA evidence wherever you go.
Check.
So,
for these reasons... I do masturbate a lot, yeah.
For these reasons, a secluded crime scene where you and the victim are the only recent inhabitants could be a goldmine for the forensic scientists. Therefore, commit the crime in a public place where lots of other people's DNA and trace elements will be around. So I gave Michael half a point for saying a war might be good cover.
A war is not a location.
I think Miles should get points for the bus stop.
I don't think he should get any points because he looks like he was born in Cluedo.
I think the bus stops were convenient to the murder location, not the murder location themselves. In terms of weapon, you want something undetectable. So guns and knives leave a lot of evidence. They did look at ice steaks and they could kill someone. They actually tried it with a piece of meat. But there would still be a risk of leaving evidence behind. So what they went for, and this also... does for disposal of the body, and a point to Aisling for this is...
pigs!
It's
Shut
not
up
pigs.
About the pigs!
Oh.
It's a poison that presents as a mystery illness, a good option. By the time someone raises the alarm, the toxins may have left the body or the body itself may have been buried or cremated. So Aisling's poison in the petit filou, a point for that. And I've written here points also for all the panellists who said they wouldn't commit murder themselves, but no one said that, so...
Never say never, Ben. Never say never.
Michael and Aisling, you loved that pony, didn't you? That little pony who was your best friend, confidant and squash partner, but little pony is dead. And without little pony, you've got no way of getting to the BAFTAs. Your roller skates don't fit. Your car has fallen in a river. You'll have to take public transport. Just as you get on the public transport, you decide you really, really want to listen to the album Jesus without earbuds. Eat a bag of vegan tuna mayonnaise and clip your toenails into the face of a child. But some old bat tells you off. So what is the right way to behave on public transport according to Debrett's.com?
You get on the train, you sit down, you shut the fuck up, you die. And then you get thrown off at yourself. That is how you behave at all times. How come people like who are pregnant get a little badge to go, you know, baby on board? Why is it not badge? Shut the fuck up. Just everyone shut up.
Like Northern Irish person on board.
Or person on board that doesn't want to hear your fucking crap.
So, Michael, what do you find more offensive? Is it someone eating something smelly? Is that offensive? Or is it the music? Is that offensive? Loud conversations? Yeah. Crying?
Yeah.
Collecting tickets? It's aggressive, isn't it?
Yeah. We've all got hobbies, mate. Collect somewhere else.
How do you react to the newfound thing of like a mariachi band and stuff getting onto the tube? Like, what do you do with that? Because that, for me, plus Michael Legg, it would be a joy to watch.
Listen, I never ever thought that I would ever tell a mariachi band to fuck off, but I have done. I've done it several times.
Yeah.
I think that makes me kind of like a world traveller.
I was on the tube recently. I know, just like the common man. And a woman was there with her child on her lap, eating chicken, and she'd chew all the chicken off the bone and place it on the floor.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a sort of calm watching her do it, because it wasn't like, oh, I'll just kind of leave this by the side. She would very calmly place it on the floor, as if sort of building a little display or sort of like an art installation.
Or a warning to other chickens.
Exactly. And it was just so ostentatious that it was quite calming to watch. When someone does something that kind of, like, you know, I remember seeing a flasher on the subway in New York, and it was almost hilarious. I'm like, oh, it's finally happened. A penis in my face in public. Like, it was, and I laughed, and then he went away, and I sort of went to go, oh, sorry, no, I didn't mean, I was laughing for different reasons.
I committed an act of petty revenge on a train recently. I was coming in from South Wales. It was a very busy train, and at a station to stop, we were sitting at a table of four. Somebody next to me got up. I didn't know if they were getting to the station or whatever. And another person came, sat down and said, is this seat taken? And I went, I'm not sure. And the other two people at the table went, we're not sure, actually. And he went, no, is the answer I'm looking for. And then he sat down next to us. And the other person said, sorry, I just didn't know. And he went, yeah, well, whatever. And I said, no, someone did get up, but we didn't know if they'd gone to the loo or they got off. We just don't know. And he went, yeah, well. And so he was really rude to us. And then he was completely charming to the person that came with the trolley and stuff like that. Yeah. And I thought, when he gets off, hopefully he'll get off the station before I get off. And I, just as the train's pulling away, I'll knock on the window and I'll sort of flip in the bird or something. Or just go and stand in the lobby and call in somebody. He didn't. He was on the train all the way to Paddington. So we got to Paddington and I thought, well, I'll say something just so I'm getting off and I'll go the other way. But he got off ahead of me. So I thought, I ended up following him down the down the platform. So towards the Smithstone. I thought, I'm going to say something to him because I've been sitting there annoyed about it. But no, I'm going to say something. So we get through and he's still ahead of me and he goes through the ticket barriers and I manage to sort of overtake someone. So I get ahead and there's a branch of Whistle Stop there that's got two entrances. And I thought, oh, great, he's going to go...
Pincer movement.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to time this. So I'm going to say something just before he gets past that entrance into Whistle Stop, and I'll say something, and then I'll just nip into Whistle Stop and just go on my own way, go up to the taxi rank. And so I did. I put all my effort into chasing after him, getting around people, so I was right behind him. And then I thought, oh, I don't know what to say when I actually get to him. So I did. I got myself in a position. I walked behind her about 10 paces, and just as we went past the door of Whistle Stop, I went, you rude cunt! And then I ducked into Whistle Stop, and of course there were people. He said he tried to turn around, but there was too many people behind him, and I just saw this baffled man thinking, "Why has that happened?" I was really satisfied.
Margaret, you are clearly not the sort of person who confronts someone on public transport. Is that true?
No.
Except when flashing.
No, I am. Well, I've mentioned this before, but I saw a man smoking on the bus once and I did get very angry, but I was also quite scared, so I wrote him a note and I put it in his hood when he got off. No, don't clap that. It's pathetic. I know. It's pathetic.
Did it just say don't smoke on the bus?
Do you know what it said?
What did it say?
Who are you to ignore the rules of society and the fucking law? Don't smoke on the bus. And I bet he never saw it. But I, you know. The good thing was I could see everyone else wanting to ask me what I'd written when I sat down.
What was interesting is that you put a question in it, but no address. So we could go, oh, I am the law.
Michael, has anybody ever reacted badly to you telling them off on public transport?
Yeah, but what's better than that is one time I told a guy off for playing music really loudly, and his reaction was, oh, you again. Brilliant.
That is so brilliant.
Yeah, me again. That's right. Simplified. Guess who's back?
Simplified question. How should you react when passengers irritate you on public transport?
Have any of you read The Chimp Paradox? The book The Chimp Paradox. Anyone read that? Yes, you have. This is very interesting because it's really hard not to react to stuff. I was thinking quite a lot of you, Michael, when I was reading the book. Because our inner chimp reacts and go, fuck you! But actually, the way to get on their nerves the most, if they're doing something really nerving, is to be so nice about it.
Oh, I do it all the time.
That undoes it. You go, I'm so sorry about this, but would you mind putting your music the fuck down? Thank you so much.
Oh, they actually, that's not what I do.
No, but that actually is more effective than going, excuse me, like, do you know what I mean? That actually isn't as effective as you would think because it forces a retaliation situation.
Well, what I've done often is if people are being, I like to think they're sharing their music. And what I then like to do is share the book I'm reading by shouting it at them. I don't think I haven't done that, by the way.
It was the best of days. It was the worst of times. Reader, I married him.
I've been on trains where the music's so annoying that I had to like tap and just go, oh, mate, what's that? That is brilliant. That is absolutely fantastic. What is that? What is that? Can you give me a copy of that? Here's my address. Can you send it to me on tape? Yeah. Just keep them talking. Keep talking at them so they can't listen to their music. Because if they're going to play it that loudly, they're not allowed to hear it.
I don't actually get too annoyed by those things. I think because I spend so much time on my own in the house during the day that I'm kind of like, I know, babes, come around.
You see them as your friend.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, now we're all in the club, we're all on the train together, whoop, whoop.
Far be it for me to give advice to the DJ, but why don't you put something on that we can dance to?
But I find, like, stag parties are more intimidating to me. Like, what to do if a stag party gets on. Or, like, The Lads post The Football, which I heard is a very good show. And I never know what to do then without, you know, with the kind of sounds. And I'm like, I don't know how to speak that language to go, I'm intimidated.
I just seduce them.
Ben, is anybody close with any of these things?
Not really. Yeah. But according to De Bretz, basic courtesies are easily forgotten on public transport, particularly if delays are lengthy and space is tight. Do not perpetuate this. Always offer your seat to those who need it more than you. If pregnancy or decrepitude are in any doubt, it is best to quietly vacate your seat, move away and hope that your intended recipient will gravitate towards it.
I quite like the idea of everyone, if there was only one chair, everyone has to go, sorry, I'm quite decrepit. How decrepit are you?
I think the person who is the most physically fit should get the chair because they can get everybody else off it.
Remember that proximity heightens tension and amplifies your behaviour, so be considerate if using a mobile phone, eating, drinking, listening to music, or carrying outsized luggage. And I think we're all saying be considerate. I gave Michael half a point for his badge idea. If a fellow passenger wrongs you, ignore it and avoid confrontation. If you wore a badge saying,
Shut the fuck up.
You're trying to avoid confrontation, so half a point
for
that.
Yeah.
And their parting shot is, smile and thank others who show patience, self-restraint, or gestures of goodwill. Point to Aisling for being nice.
So, Ben, at the end of those rounds, what are the scores?
Michael and Aisling have 3. Margaret and Miles have none.
Yay! Our love.
Hello, this is producer Ben from Do The Right Thing. At this point in the show, we normally put in a little message to say, if If you enjoy the show and would like to support us to make some more episodes in the future, you can donate some money to us, a one-off payment or a per-episode payment, by going to comedy.co.uk/DTRT/donate.
But we don't want that this time. We are specifically fishing for a rich benefactor who would like to give us a great deal of, like, an obscene amount of money just for us, and maybe fly us out to their personal island, and we'll dance. We will definitely dance.
Fair. Do you want to add anything to that?
No, we're down with that.
Michael's vegan, by the way, if you are.
So we'll be a vegan dance, I'm afraid. So it won't be the foxtrot.
He'll be trying to make it rain pastry.
Will it be the tango? Is tango,
tango
vegan?
Yeah, tango's it's got oranges in it, so it's fine.
We might have, like, fish eyes or something.
No, not tango. You're thinking of fish. That's got fish eyes in it.
We've gone off topic.
Anyway.
Topics aren't vegan.
Anyway, if you're a rich benefactor listening in...
Yeah, dumb, you cunt. Just give us some fucking money.
Go to comedy.co.uk/DTRT/donate. Thanks, bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for Total Agony! In this round, I'll be getting the panel to solve some problems for our audience. But before that, I'm going to start them off with a letter sent to a real agony aunt for fun only. Michael, would you read this, please?
Dear agony aunt, one night I got very drunk and stupidly exchanged sexy texts with an ex-girlfriend. I said things I shouldn't have, given that I have a new partner who is expecting our baby. Shit. Yeah. Absolutely. Fucking hell, I can't wait to get to the next paragraph. Now, the ex is demanding cash to stay quiet. I would ignore her threats, but I don't want my girlfriend to get upset. I'm out of my mind with worry. What should I do?
Miles, have you ever sexted someone?
No, I've not done that, Daniel.
No, not even what? Snapped a picture of your cock?
Come on, Miles!
It's encrypted! Why would I,
why be a would bit I, of fun!
Why would I send a WhatsApp to my own cock? Why would I no, would you recommend it? Sexting.
Have you? Because you're married, aren't you? Don't you have a wife?
Yeah.
And how long have you guys been together?
It'll be 10 years.
10 years.
No, 14 years. 10 years married.
14 years. So you guys kind of were already into it when the whole, like, send the pictures of your knob kind of came out as a thing.
Yeah.
So it's probably not, it'd be hard to start
of,
it
she
now.
Sends me a lot of dick pics. But I guess that's
always
just...
different colours, different sizes, different shape.
I guess that's just sort of bants or a basic it's a basic technology issue. Yeah. I keep doing this thing where I did send all again. That's why you got them.
Yeah. Margaret, do you think sexting is cheating?
I mean, yeah, it depends what the sexting is, really. Someone did before photo phones. Someone
photo
did
phones.
send me.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that called?
Yeah, when there was just talking phones. Yeah.
No, in between talking phones and photo phones.
Someone said
there was writing phones.
Snake.
Writing
there was playing
phones.
Snake.
Oh, no, it was talking cameras.
No, someone did once send me some dirty stickman pictures.
Fucking bloody lowering.
They were amazing. It took me ages to work out what was going on.
Oh, because they were like
scroll down.
Loads of hyphens.
Yeah, loads of hyphens.
Bracket. Loads of hyphens on the next line.
Yeah,
that's your penis.
It was pretty baffling.
Yeah. Did it get you off?
no. I'm going to go with no. But I did really, really like him. And he eventually said that nothing was going to happen. I should have read those signs. But it was awful. 18 months later, he was... No, I'm not going to say his name. Yeah. He had a name that was very similar to a female friend of mine. And I accidentally sent him a text 18 months after he dumped me that just said, I'm waiting. And that's one of the most embarrassing things that's ever happened to me.
Do you think sexting is cheating, Ashley?
Well, apart from the pregnancy part, I was the girlfriend of that scenario before where the ex was sending the sexy texts to his ex. And so...
No, hold on, hold on.
Yeah.
The ex was sending texts to his ex?
No. Me English, no good since I moved here. No, was the girlfriend in the scenario with the boyfriend sending sexy texts to his ex. Yeah. Thank you, Margaret, clarifying it, though. None of you said anything. You would have just sat there and let me make a fool of myself on this podcast, sirs. And so, like, my advice to him, with the greatest of respect, would be to suck my bloody dick. And that was not nice when old mama here found them. And like one of my friends, I remember going around to one of my friend's house and she's like, oh my God, well, he's just one of those guys that like wandering Mickey. Like, you know, some people can't help themselves. Like they can't help themselves. And I was like, oh, that's really true. Like, because in the middle of the night, you know, he's asleep after a few pints, but his wandering Mickey gets up and rolls his way out of the bed using his balls as wheels. And just makes his way off to the phone and bangs out a text with the tip of his knob. Yeah, that's bloody it, isn't it?
Were they photos?
No, he was a real wordsmith. He was very much a good Thomas character.
Could it have been autocorrect? That would be my advice, is say blame it on autocorrect.
Yeah, there was no, because he managed to spell fuck instead of duck.
Michael, do you think it's better or worse to cheat with an ex? Better than cheating with someone who's new and shiny?
It's very retro hipster, isn't it?
Yeah, because the thing is that all of the dreams I've ever had where I am...
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Where I've had so many dreams, sexy dreams about exes, where sort of
sexy
halfway through, like I was having sex.
That's sexy. Not sexy.
No, you're right.
No, not the way I do it, no.
That's horrible.
But in every circumstance, about halfway through, I realise that I'm not supposed to have sex with this person anymore. You know, that I've got a new partner. And I think there is something that if you've had sex with someone, you sort of think somewhere in the back of your mind, you're allowed to have sex with them. You managed to have sex with them once, and therefore...
Like, it's already been in there, it's not a new thing.
Yeah,
it knows its way around.
It's a bit like if you used to live on a street and you had a parking permit there, and then you move away and you get a parking permit on a new street, you come back and you think... Oh, I know, I'll just park in front of the old house. I know where I'm going there. And the traffic warden will come along and go, you haven't got a permit to park here. Oh, no, but I used to park here. They'd be like, yeah. They'd be like, that is morally wrong. The traffic warden say, that's like thinking it's okay to say that you can fuck an ex. It's ridiculous.
Ben, what did the actual agony aunt say?
This was Dear Deirdre in The Sun. She said, if you give into your ex's blackmail, she can go on demanding money, so don't give into it. Mm. Instead, tell her you simply haven't got the cash and ask why she would be so cruel to your current girlfriend. Maybe she will back off, but if not, you have to be honest with your girlfriend. Tell her you love only her and block your ex. So I'm going to give Margaret, just because her team has no points at the moment, I'm going to give her half a point for talking about blaming it on autocorrect, because that is at least admitting that you've sent the texts.
No, thanks, guys.
I'm surprised we're getting that point. I feel like Ben's sympathy sexting us.
I've had a lot of those as well.
So now you've learnt how a real agony aunt does it, let's see you deal with some problems from tonight's audience. Is Susan here?
This is exciting. Mm.
So Susan's problem is, how do I broach the conversation with my housemate that he masturbates really loudly?
Which part is loud, Susan? As in the...
It specifies on the...
Or the...
It specifies on the paper.
Oh, it specifies on the paper.
Audible action and vocals.
Oh!
Post-it note on the fridge.
He has got...
Please, can you get more milk and stop wanking?
because,
so loudly.
Or if you just did it with the two of you, be like, guys, whoever's wanking really loudly, would you mind not doing that? I'm quite fascinated, though, from a sort of David Attenborough point of view, about the loudness of the meat of it, I suppose you could say. Like, how's that getting through? Or, like, is it a...
It's a lot of skin, I'm imagining.
Yeah. Or is there... But even then, I mean, walls are... Like, have you actually had a building inspector around to check the thickness of your walls?
Yes.
Is it safe?
Or maybe he's amplifying it somehow.
Yeah. Oh, like he's doing it into a cone or something, yeah. Or a jam jar, like you do at a house party where
perhaps
there's no speakers.
Perhaps he's angrily folding a tent.
Oh, my God, maybe. What? It came out of the bag. Why didn't it get in the bag?
I think you should record it and then set it as your ringtone for him.
Come on, all the points.
Then say, I've lost my phone, can you ring it for me?
Are the vocals at the end or all the way through?
They're kind of in between, I would say.
In like between? As
throughout the whole thing.
Like a chorus.
It's kind of like in between, it's punctuated.
In a song.
At one point, does he go, oh, I reckon I'm about halfway there.
It's very precise, yeah.
Does he say words or is it just your O's and A's?
It's more like a kind of guttural moaning sound, I would say.
And it's definitely, you've had a look for cats and foxes in the house.
I've looked, yeah, there are no animals. There are no animals in the flat, I'm afraid.
How many people live in the flat?
There's three of us.
Oh, so you can have the conversation of, guys, one of us is masturbating too loud. Now, it might be me, and if it is, just pull me up.
Don't be afraid to tell me if it's me. We just don't know who it is, Ian. We don't know if it's you, Ian. We don't know if it's Sheila. We don't know if it's me.
I'm still so fascinated. Like, I'd love to see it. To get to it. I'd love to put on my glass and go, well, 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 what have we here? The noisiest penis I ever did see. It's quite fascinating.
I think the problem is that he might leave the door open.
Oh.
Can you maybe shut the door during...
I shut my door, but I don't know if it might be obvious if I go to his door and shut it for him.
You're right, it is obvious, but what he's doing is quite obvious.
Also quite obvious. That's fair enough.
Or you could get him some cream. To oil it, WD-40.
Cream
and
some little headphones, you know. But what about cream mufflers and a cornetto? So he'd have cream, which would dampen the sound of that, and then he'd be having a cornetto so he couldn't make any noise. Although then you'd be like, oh.
It's quite loud.
I make lots of noise when I'm eating cornettos.
Michael, you must be quite a quiet masturbator. And I only say
I've had six wanks during this recording.
No one can hear over the shouting, that's the thing.
Because you've got some material about wanking in front of a butterfly. So you must be quite
quiet. I didn't wank in front of a butterfly. I was wanking and a butterfly landed next to me. Okay? There's a massive difference.
But there is an...
I think the reason people don't like this routine is because it's set at a butterfly park.
All I'm saying is you must be quite quiet to not scare away a butterfly. Mm.
Or butterflies don't have ears. Could be that. It's not an insult, though, is it? Oh, you're quiet at masturbating.
It's a compliment. Yeah, I was complimenting
you.
I was hoping that you could give Susan some tips.
I suppose you know when you get children and you have to sort of like, right, we need to calm them down. And you go, right, let's see who can be the quietest. You could say that to the flat. Hey, let's have a competition. Let's see who can wank the quietest. And then there's that. But also, you live in a flat, right?
Yeah.
Is there a flat below or above?
It's above a hairdresser, so it's a two-level flat.
Above a hairdresser, even better.
There we go.
Fake a letter from the hairdresser saying...
Excuse me, I was perming Debbie's hair the other day and she was trying to relax reading her OK magazine and the sound of somebody wanking upstairs put her right off.
You could invite your flatmate to the next recording of this and ask the question again.
Yeah, we haven't asked if they're here. Are they here?
Yeah, are they here?
No, not that I'm aware of at any rate.
Susan, has anybody been helpful?
I'm going to say the latter has been the most useful so far.
Thank you very, very much.
There we go. Big round of applause for Susan.
Is this what it sounds like when he's wanking? Oh,
I mean, if he's got people in there applauding, then I don't know. It's a whole other issue.
Yeah, but you can see why he does it. who doesn't
giving
like applause?
Back.
Yeah.
Let's check the scores, producer Ben.
The scores are that Margaret and Miles have a very contentious half. Michael and Aisling have 4.
There are some questions the internet just can't answer, like, is Edinburgh and Edinburgh the same place or different places? And how do you know? A question the South Korean ambassador actually asked me once. In these instances, we need to ask the expert.
Ask, 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 ask.
You. So in this round, the panel will have to work out what an expert would do when not pissing about on a podcast. So let's welcome today's trained professional is midwife Kerry. Thanks, Kerry. So how long have you been a midwife?
Qualified 15 years.
That's the best baby you've ever delivered.
Oh, I couldn't possibly say.
They're not all equal, though, are they?
Oh, they are. Some are more equal than others.
What is your number up to now, then?
I feel really bad that I don't know. I must be at least 1,000.
Whoa! 1,000, but she's amazing.
So, right, panel, in a moment, you're going to have to second-guess what advice Kerry would give in some midwifery-based scenarios. But before then, you've got a chance to get to know her a bit better by asking some questions. So, Miles, you've got loads of kids. You must have some questions.
What is the most annoying you have found someone who you have been attempting to help deliver their child?
Well, the actual woman, or could it be anyone?
Either.
Or the baby, doesn't matter.
Or the baby.
Unfortunately, it's usually the husband's, sorry.
No, I can understand how that's the case.
I have a question. I had a 50-hour labour and nearly died from blood loss during my C-section.
Show off. Yeah. But I don't like to talk about it.
And flirt.
And all I
that's
can think...
That's the perfect murder! That's how you do it!
And all I can think about is how delicious the diamorphine was and where can I get some more.
I know, it's sacrilege that you have to be in pain to have that, really.
I know, it's great, really. I would have had more. You liked it as well, didn't you? It was really good. Yeah.
Well, it is actually heroin, so you don't actually have to be in pain, you just want to know the right people, I suppose. I'm not that person.
Michael, have you got a midwife based question?
Yeah, when you watch the television programme called The Midwife, do you just sit there shaking your head going, bullshit, like we do when we watch Live at the Apollo?
As someone who's done it, this is a nasty way to find out, Michael.
We do use the same tools that they used in the 1940s and 50s still, so nothing's advanced. So
retro hipster, love it.
There you go.
Tell me this and tell me no more. Is there anything that happens that, like, everyone should know but nobody knows? Like, I didn't realise until all my babies started having friends. Until all my friends started having babies, that everyone shits themselves. Like, that would be a heads up that we should all know about. You know, like, a poo comes out first and that's not your baby. You're like, ah! And that was just a poo. Now imagine life. There's, like, next up, life.
It's all a complete fallacy. Nobody ever poos themselves.
What? Never. Like, loads never. Of my friends. What never. Type of people am I friends with? No. All of them have. Because my friend, like, actually pooed in the pool.
Oh, you can't get away with that. When it's in the pool.
Yeah, and it's really bad.
They get a sieve, don't they? They get a sieve.
I've had six friends all poo themselves.
Do they all have a pool birth? Or poo birth?
Live at the Apollo, I would love that joke. Only one of them.
They've got really cruel midwives. Yeah. They all said, what, you really shit yourself then?
Yeah. Have you ever shit yourself?
Me? Well, I've had two babies.
Just to join in.
How often do people have an orgasm during birth? Because that seems to be a thing that American podcasts go on about, but I don't know anybody who's done it.
In my experience, never. It sounds very similar, but no, they're not orgasming.
I think you're doing
that's
it wrong.
What's happening.
If they're not shitting and coming, you're doing it wrong.
This sounds like it's more about
all
you than it is about myself.
I didn't
realise
it was my fault.
So here's the first scenario we put to Kerry. Kerry is with a first-time mum to be on the labour ward and the baby's arrival is not far off. Prego's birth plan states that she doesn't want to give birth lying down, so she's squatting with Kerry lying on the floor underneath to keep an eye on progress. Suddenly, Mum has a contraction so powerful it causes her to break a tooth on the mouthpiece of the gas and air machine. Simultaneously, her waters break, showering Kerry's face with amniotic fluid. Rather overwhelmed, the dad-to-be faints and collapses on the floor. What would Kerry do in this situation?
I reckon the first thing she'd say is, "You're doing really well."
Could you bottle any of that amniotic fluid? I feel like if that's all over you at this stage, is it?
Bottle it.
Like, I think quite laterally about things, and there's all this wasted fluid, and there must be some kind of, like, face cream in it. I'd use it.
Well, allegedly, they used to sell placentas for a penny for face cream. Allegedly.
Well, I was going to say, you can eat placentas. Can you drink amniotic fluid? Is it like a chaser or something?
I can't say it now. I'll give away the answer.
So you can. Oh, you'd lick the amniotic fluid off yourself like a cat.
You would be permitted, I think, depending on whether or not you could be seen, to wipe your face with your sleeve.
But I reckon you're not allowed sleeves.
You're not allowed. Oh, okay. Yeah. Then I reckon that you would not panic at all.
Wipe your face with the man's clothes because he's unconscious. He's useless at this point. Ring for the emergency dentist. The on-call NHS emergency dentist.
Maternity wards.
Yes.
Miles, you've had loads of kids. Yeah. Did you faint at any of their births?
No, I didn't. I did get shouted at by a midwife, but I'm not...
What were you doing?
You probably deserved it.
Trying to help.
They're the worst.
It's in our flat in Kilburn. She went, "Can you go and get a bowl of water?" And I said, "What temperature?" She goes, "Just get a bowl of water." So I just thought, well, it must be for, I don't know, dropping instruments in or whatever. So I went and filled it from the cold tap. And then I went, "Okay, there's the water." And then the next thing I saw her with the sponge. And I thought, oh, no. And so I tipped it out into the hallway. And then I had my wife go, "Oh!" And then the midwife went, "It's cold, you fucking idiot!" She didn't swear. She did not swear.
I often wonder, you know, when things like Downton Abbey and someone's having a baby mysteriously upstairs.
I always shit during Downton Abbey.
But I do always wonder, you know, the way someone's always like, "Quick, get some hot water and some towels." And they never explain what that's for. Like, are you going to boil the baby? And or like, what do you do? The towels, put it, wash your hair quickly. Like, what are you doing with the hot water and
hot
the towels?
Water, tea.
Tea, yeah, genuinely.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the only reason there.
We never need hot water, just towels.
Michael, are you sad that you'll never get to give birth?
Oh, we don't know that for sure.
Well, one, you don't know that I won't. And two,
you don't know he hasn't.
Also, and three, I am now. I think I'll be a really good mum. I think all that screaming and shouting, I've been right up my street.
Do you know where you'd come into your own, Michael? On Mumsnet. You know, the website, yeah.
All right, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? I'm on Mumsnet. That is true.
Have you got a mum name?
Yeah, Michael Legg.
Kerry, what would you do in this situation?
Well, the priority is the woman, obviously. She's indicating the birth plan. She wants to stand up, so that's my bad luck. I'm lying on the floor, being waterboarded by amniotic fluid.
Just tell me the truth.
Day in the life. And actually, the amniotic fluid, I have had that happen, like a jet wash. And the first thing I remember thinking is it's incredibly salty. Really, really salty. So
it reminds you of the seaside memories as a child.
Exactly, yeah.
So you need another drink with it.
Yeah, definitely. Dry martini or something. But visibility would have to happen because I've got to see this baby coming, so I need to get it out of my eye. It's like doing a shot of Sambuca in your eye, apparently. So I'd have to clear the amniotic fluid, and unfortunately, if it's in my mouth and I can't move, spit or swallow, I have to swallow.
Yeah. I can actually relate to that.
Once in 15 years, I've had to swallow amniotic fluid in my mouth.
Spit it back up.
Well, like a little dolphin.
Yeah.
Next time, I'll remember
that. There you go, tips.
And I think for the tooth, if I can find it, it's going to go in a placenta bag, keep it safe. And if you can find an NHS dentist, you're luckier than me. So that, and...
And what about Dad?
fainting dad, my motto is if he's breathing, I'm leaving him. He's just going to stay there.
And if he's not breathing, yeah, it's too late. So
well, that's it. I mean, if there's a lot of blood...
It's not his day.
Exactly. I mean, if there's copious amounts of blood, then I'd ring the emergency bell because you slip hazard.
Yeah.
My husband read most of Moby Dick when I was in labour.
Here's scenario number two. An expectant mother and her tired-looking husband arrive on the labour ward. When mum goes to the loo, the man takes Kerry to one side. He looks slightly crazed as he confides in her that he suspects he's not the father. Is there anything Kerry can do to help him know the truth? As the toilet flushes, he gives a nervous giggle and puts his finger to his lips to tell Kerry to keep stum. What would Kerry do in this situation?
I can just see Aisling's laugh for this now.
I think you should just say, you're doing really well. If it was me, I'd honestly say, of course you are. Come on.
Yeah.
You know. But it's not. It's gin drinking on the job, Kerry. I feel like this would be like a bit of fun during the day for you because you're like onto baby 1007 now. You're covered in amniotic fluid. You're like, what is life? I think you'd start asking a few questions. So, where were you 9 months ago to the day? You know, I think you'd investigate. You get on board. I feel like I'm right as well because you're looking down. You don't want to look
Is there any way... she could ask the mum.
Yeah, yeah, there's
that
too.
Well, when she's in labour, can you imagine that? When you were in labour, if someone had gone, is he the dad?
Someone... My midwife did ask that while he was in the room. And I said, yes, but obviously I would say that. He's sitting next to me.
Do you get many fathers doubting the paternity?
Well, the one time I did have dubious parentage, there was a lady in and she'd been married and they were on a break and she'd had a couple of flings with two men and she genuinely didn't know who the father of the baby was. And this is 100% true. And so we had the three dads waiting outside. And it was so... It was... No! Honestly! It was so amicable.
Honestly, I was thinking Ted Danson, Steve Guttenberg.
Can I just say, what a wonderful review for that woman's personality. She sounds great.
They're all doing rock, paper, scissors outside.
Amazing.
But it was very, very, you know.
But what happened jolly when it came out? Because presumably it wasn't obvious immediately. Well,
if he had a moustache, he would
Yeah, exactly.
She did Sex. Actually deliver the best line I've ever heard. She picked the baby up and said, well, it's not Junjud Wally's. And that's 100% true.
Oh, did Ginger Willy fuck off? So, Kerry, what would you do in this situation?
I'm not going to get involved. I mean, maybe ethically I should, but there's no way if there's a crazed man in there laughing maniacally saying that he's not the father of the child. I mean, if he does something dangerous, then that's a different matter. And, you know, I might sort of have a word with the wife and see if he's displayed any weird behaviour beforehand. But, no, I'll wait and they can go on Jeremy Kyle 3 months' time.
Would you give him some gas and air?
Well, the thing is, I always say to them that I know they're going to do the gas and air. Just be discreet. Just wait till I'm out of the room.
The dads always do the gas and air.
Because I'm going to give them the opportunity. I'm going to say, I'm just going out. I'll be about 5 minutes. Because I know they all want to try it, but they can't blatantly do it in front of me. Because then I've got to tell them off.
My partner wouldn't touch the gas and air.
Really?
Too scared.
He was brought up properly, wasn't he? Yeah.
Scared of Danielle.
Well, Ben, you were observing. Has anybody been close?
Well, I think for the first one, Aisling got a point.
Yep.
And for the second one, Margaret Miles got a point.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much to our expert guest, Kerry.
Thank you.
Thank you, midwife Kerry. Ben, before we hit the final round, what are the scores?
Michael and Aisling have 5, and Margaret and Miles have 1.5.
Like a pile of mini bojos, we're about to do the wrong thing.
Do the wrong thing! Do the wrong thing! Do the wrong thing!
In this final round, I want the panellists to tell me what is the wrongest thing to do in any given situation. The winner gets an entire basket case full of Green Days. The round ends when we hear producer Ben's cries for help. So, you get to name a new dinosaur. What is the wrong thing to do?
I'd like to try and call it C, and then it'd be a seesaw.
they ask you to go on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, what is the wrong thing to do?
Do it.
Someone sends you a replica genital made of spam. What is the wrong thing to do?
Feed it to children.
The wrong thing to do is to film yourself while you're eating it.
Every time you laugh, your bum leaks gin. What's the wrong thing to do?
Use it to get into the Paralympics.
How about turning yourself upside down and putting a straw and a cocktail umbrella in your arsehole?
You're suddenly the best person in the world at running. What is the wrong thing to do?
I mean, assume it'll last and enter the Olympics.
Or like to waste your talent and to just use it like ringing doorbells in the area. Yeah.
I suppose to run with scissors because it would be even more dangerous now.
Denzel Washington falls in love with you. What is the wrong thing to do?
Accept his proposal of marriage without talking to my wife first.
Your saliva cures diabetes. What is the wrong thing to do?
Tell people.
Running around the hospital wards, sticking your tongue down people's throats, children's throats, elderly people's throats.
See what your shit does?
Show, to quote the Bible, get out of here, Baldy. Producer Ben, what are the final scores?
Well, the final scores are stunning. Because Margaret and Miles are very wrong. Michael and Aisling have 6. Margaret and Miles have 7.5.
Well done to Margaret and Miles.
This is anti-Irish sentiment.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Do the right thing, think it's Aisling, think Miles, drop Margaret Cable, spread Michael Legg, expert midwife Kerry, and me, Danielle Hall, by the boys. David Root, Martin White with the music. That's the Phoenix for having us. Jessica Joyberg, the scat, and Gwen Reese Davis and Josh Grant for helping out. Do the Right Thing is the first production for the internet.
For listening to the series.
That's it, all over.
Yeah, we're really, really grateful if you managed to get through all of that.
I know.
It's exhausting.
It's a lot of hours. If you listen to the uncut version, bloody hell.
I think I cried in every episode.
Oh.
With laughter, generally. Yeah.
But thank you so much for listening. And because we're now on Acast and we run adverts, which I know annoy some people, it does mean that we know for sure we can do a series next year. Thanks to Acast and the Patreon donations and just the general donations through PayPal, we know we can do some episodes. So we'll be back next year.
Yay!
And we're not always sponsored by Brexit.
I hope they'll be running ads for how to scoop the brains out of your neighbours next year. Get ready for Zombie Fest.
How quickly will Brexit turn into Zombie Fest?
Very
quickly. Well, it took 4 days for people to start ringing the police when KFC ran out of chicken. Okay. So I reckon 2 weeks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.